With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, my little cockle sheds. Welcome to the Copcast. I reckon you know the routine by now. I have a little bit of a chat, I have a little bit of a laugh, I have a little bit of a story, and then of course at the end, you can listen to my gorgeous song, download it, put it on your computers, put it on your phone watches, put it on your dog eyes. Do whatever you got to do, but you can do it and you can listen to it at home. And after this, you're going to feel like the golden goose. You will. Now I'm sat here with Milky. We treated ourselves to a little Costa coffee and a little lump of cake this morning. We watched that David Attenborough TV show last night. Oh my God, I couldn't sleep a wink after that. I was expecting a seal to do a roly-poly. Not Bleeding Apocalypto, the documentary. I was bleeding terrified all night. I couldn't sleep a wink. The world's bleeding ended. We need to do something. I gave 20 quid to Greenpeace this morning. I ain't messing around no more. These times are serious. Poor old little koala bear out there in the ice cap, trying to stay alive on a piece of ice. Are you kidding me? Whilst we're sat here eating McDonald's and a curry sauce, throwing the little plastic bit in the drain. A little fish eats that, comes out its bum and it dies. That ain't right. Anyway, so I reckon that woman in Costa's a bit sweet on you, Milky. She gave him a free macaroon. Can you believe that? She couldn't even muster a smile for me. Most of the time she looks like she's taking a sip out of a colostomy bag by mistake. She's miserable as hell. Today's guest was the toast of the British theatre scene before becoming a cult figure after starring as Claire, the sister of Fleabag in Phoebe Waller-Bridge's incredible TV show. Now, she's in the best telly going, from Quiz to Vanity Fair to her new one, 2 Weeks to Live. Please welcome to the show, the beautiful BAFTA-winning Sian Clifford. Woo! Yeah, go on, give yourself a round of applause.
I'll clap myself as well.
You didn't have a BAFTA last time we met, did you?
Did not have a BAFTA. I don't actually have it yet.
Are you kidding?
No.
Why not? In the post.
They're closed, so... We don't get them till they reopen and send them to us.
Oh, that's annoying, that is. Shall I get you one from Argos?
Yes, please.
I'll get you a nice little Elizabeth Duke one from Argos.
Oh, lovely. I get to pick the colour.
Of course you do. What would you go for? Onyx.
Let's go purple.
Purple BAFTA, like the Joker. Gorgeous. How was it, though? Was it nice getting your award? Because the problem was you couldn't go there, could you, in your real life? You had to go over Zoom.
Had to do it over Zoom, like we do everything now. I think Zoom is an alternate reality.
Yeah, it ain't nice, is it?
It's been waiting for us.
I just look at myself. That's the problem. Whenever I'm in a Zoom, I just look at my own face for hours. I could stare at it. I think, God, look at that bloody hell. It looks like a pile of meat that someone's put under a toaster. It's disgusting. It's horrible. I can't deal with it. It's doing my self-confidence no good.
I need to find a way where you can like minimise your video, but you can see everyone else's.
But you look bloody gorgeous. Look at you.
Oh, you need to stop.
She's getting more gorgeous and more younger every bleeding minute. But tell us about the little BAFTA night. What happened? Do you have some crisps and dips or something? Did you get a takeout?
I got, I got some vegan burgers and chips with my friend Phoebe.
Oh, yeah. Would that be the Phoebe?
The Phoebe, yeah. She's the new Phoebe. Formerly Phoebe from Friends, and now it's Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Yeah, no, it was lovely. It was just the two of us, and it was mad, really, because, yeah, but for the actual moment of it, I was completely on my own, because Phoebe and I couldn't be in the same room because of feedback on the computers.
She gives off a signal, does she?
She gives off, she does, from creative space, because she's channeling so much studio, so yeah. So I had to stay away from her. And we broke into our friend's house down the road, who was on holiday, about 5 seconds before it started. And so I was down there in his garden and she was in hers. And yeah, I was having to like hold my laptop, which is why when I win, the whole thing is going up and down because I couldn't hold it.
But it was it a bit weird? Did you practice your face?
No. So they did like, they'd pre-recorded everyone except the performance awards. So those were live.
Right.
So that's real, real shock and horror. Do you know what's really weird? Jamie Dimitriou, fellow BAFTA winner.
Oh, yeah.
Has just texted me.
Oh, my God. It's sickening. See if he wants to be on the podcast.
Jamie actually, well, we were phoning him. We were in cahoots that whole day. It was all a bit of a, yeah, bit of a mess.
You with your BAFTA winning community. All sitting there scratching each other's bleeding backs. What are you doing with your BAFTA today? Sean, what are you up to with your BAFTA? Well, I'm taking mine down to the playground, put it in the swing, give it a little shove around. What are you doing with yours? Oh, we're off to Aldi. Going to get some vegan pizza. This is pretty left field, this podcast. It's you just sitting there. She's trying to text Jamie Dimitriou, seeing what bleeding he's done with his bleeding BAFTA.
If he's got his before mine.
Oh, I'll be furious with you. We'll start a campaign.
Furious.
It's unreasonable. Who else won it on the day? Have you got a little BAFTA WhatsApp group?
No.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
That would be really fun. I tell you what, the best bit was when
Oh, he was in it, like, wasn't he? He was in it, wasn't he? Of course. I forget.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. He was bus rodent, as he is fondly known on IMDb. But like the at the beginning, every nominee was on Zoom.
Oh, weird.
And so the gallery, so you got the whole thing and you could see everyone. And it was just bananas who was on
there.
Was
she having a good old eyeball at what everyone was, their houses was like?
Well, they were tiny because there were so many people.
Yeah, you wanted it on your big screen.
I absolutely took a photo of that. Actually, do you know what? It was quite nice because normally those ceremonies take up the whole day and they didn't really. We just nipped in and out. So we got to just hang out with each other and say goodbye to our show.
Oh, gorgeous. Well, it's not dead though, is it? It seems to have a life going on forever.
Well, there seems to be a new story every day that we're doing a third season, but I'm sorry to burst that bubble. It's game over.
I think we could do like a science fiction version set in the future. You with a laser.
Write it.
Do you know what I mean? I'll get on it. I'll have a word with Russell T. He's been on. I'll have a little chat with Russell T.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, you've got your BAFTAs network. I've got my Smash It Awards network. And I'll have a chat with them. Now, before you went and got all big on the little screen, or the big screen, actually, now, I'm sure, you was ever so popular in the old theatre world, weren't you?
Well, it's nice of you to say that. I was doing okay, but there were definite like periods of quiet time, rest time.
What did you do in the periods of quiet time? How do they survive, actors, when they ain't got no money coming in from a show? Do you go on the dole?
You have other jobs. So I temped for a long time. Yeah. Yeah. In a hospital in London is where I attempt. Not as a doctor.
Well, one would hope, if you ain't qualified. I was doing the anaesthetics. I'd nip in with a bottle of Calpol, shove it in a vein, hope for the best. If they made it out, I'd be like, just as they disappeared, I'd say, I'm on TV on Wednesday. Come and see me theatre show on Wednesday.
Sending them subliminal messages.
Do you ever go back, nip in? It's all right, you lot, it's me.
No.
No,
I didn't have the time of my life there, I'll be honest. So
you want to be aspirations for the theatre?
Well, yeah.
Well, not even that, because you was in the theatre, but you had aspirations for the TV. Or did you?
I just had aspirations to work. It's also really challenging to show up to auditions and things in your full power when you're doing something that feels soul-destroying. You know, it's hard.
It's hard. Yeah. Milky is often down that Trafalgar Square. Do you recognise him? Look at this. Look at the camera. Have you ever seen that predator on Tottenham Court Road? That's Milky. He's done ever such a good. He did a good job with the team. He's doing a predator face for Sian so she can see it. But he and half make a lot of money there. But someone threw a £2 coin at his eye the other day. But he's doing that, and sometimes he gets ever so distracted. I'm like, Milky, you ain't predator now. Put the laser beam down. Work on the music. But he's fiddling away back there thinking he's predator. It's hard to separate your mind, isn't it? Because you've got to focus when you're an actor. It's what you want to do. If you're a writer, you've got to do the same thing. And for a lot of people, it's difficult to maintain the income to do one job. And that's tricky, isn't it?
It's finding a balance. Yeah, it's difficult. But not to drag everyone down. But yeah, it's hard.
Okay, welcome to the podcast. We talk about how hard life is. And it doesn't get better.
It doesn't get any better. It does get bleeding better
because you get a bleeding BAFTA.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes you do. But 98% of the time you don't. And you die lonely without having fulfilled your true potential in your career. This is a gorgeous podcast. So was acting always on the cards? Something you always wanted to do? You used to do a little bit of the old acting clubs, didn't you, when you was growing up?
Yeah, when I was little, I did it from when I was like 6 years old. And I did have a moment when I was a bit spooked. The first show I did The Wizard of Oz, and I played a munchkin. And that was my first role. No, I think I just sang the song, "We Welcome You to Munchkin Land." Tra la 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 la. Tra la 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 la.
That just cost me 40 quid. Cheers, Shah.
Yeah, cut that out. But yeah, so I was in that. And then I got a bit of stage fright because I was only small. So I went back to see the next show because my sister was in it and they did The Little Mermaid. And I was watching it. And I've only acknowledged this since I became an adult. But there was a moment when I was watching the show that I felt this kind of knowing that I was meant to be on the stage and not in the audience. And I was like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. And then it wasn't until I was much older that I remembered that that had happened. But yeah, it was from when I was that young.
And your sister, she left act. She didn't carry on to her acting career, did she? She's an art dealer, isn't she now? Or something?
Yeah, and a gallerist.
Gallerist. Yeah. What does she make of all of this? Is she selling you a bit of art these days?
Only if I pay for it.
Do people think in real life that you're Claire from Fleabag?
I do think sometimes people think I'm going to be like her. Like, they think I'm going to be scary.
But you're not being scary. You're so gorgeous and lovely.
Depends on my mood, Diane, you know.
But you just do a little bit of meditating, didn't you, to get around it? Because I do that too now.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I got well into my meditation in lockdown. At one point, I was levitating.
How far off the ground?
About 15 metres. I was like David Blaine.
That is... That's advanced.
I got hooked on a helicopter. It was ever so worrying. I woke up, I was on the Isle of Wight. I thought, oh, my God. 1 minute ago, I've got my eyes closed on me. Two-seater sofa. Next thing, I'm bleeding in the Isle of Wight. No, but the reason I ask is because you set up your website, didn't you, a little while ago? And I said this to you when you was on our chat show in Soho Theatre. I said, what about this website? You said, oh, I haven't done it yet, I haven't finished it. Have you got any further with it? What was it called again?
Well, I have. It's a business. It's called Still Space. And there are lots of strands to it. And I haven't found the time yet to apply myself to it properly, but there's lots of lovely opportunities around it that I do want to pursue. But it's been really difficult because there's been a lot of other work that I've had to tend to.
Like being a bleeding famous celebrity or what? Sort of the bleeding meditation. But do you do it a lot now? Do you still do your meditation?
Oh yeah, every day. Yeah, it's just part of my life now.
Do you do it with music or just sound like nothing?
I mix it up. It's completely intuitively led, which is kind of like the whole ethos behind Still Space, which is that it's very individual focus but as part of the collective whole. So it's about connecting to yourself more deeply but others as well. And so I wanted to have the focus on people really, really tuning into their intuition. So some days I'll want to listen to music. Sometimes it's nice to do a guided one where you just put yourself in another person's hands and they lead you. And sometimes it's nice to just be in your own space. And that can be really uncomfortable, but I think it's important to sit with that discomfort. There's a lot of growth in that.
But I really believe in it, because in lockdown I was ever so worried, I was panicked. I couldn't go nowhere. The only thing I could do was meditate and get myself all chilled out. That's why I've done a whole selection of those guided meditations on my YouTube channel. They're called Namastasia. I'm not lying. They're on there and you can ever so relax with them.
Oh, I'm going to check that out.
You should, because it will calm you right down. They're ever so good and they've been quite popular, I have to say it. So I might be a guru.
Have you thought about leading any meditations yourself, Diane?
Yeah. Do you want to do one quick?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Okay.
You're going to guide me.
I'll guide you.
And the listeners.
I'm a bit worried about Milky's trap win, but we'll go through it and give it a go. That's it, Milky. Stand like that. All right, you like, okay, everybody, this is a beautiful cop pass, you can do this. Hello. Today, we're going to do a guided meditation on the Chatting with Chorley cop pass. With me, Diane Chorley, your spiritual guru. I want you to do a close your eyes now. I take a nice deep breath in, not a breath, do a breath. Do a nice deep breath in. Let's hear you. Don't giggle. And then out. In. Out. Milky, can you do that in the other direction, please? God, thinks the Marmite. In again. Out. Now I want you to imagine you're walking in a nice big field and it's ever so nice. The grass is big and it's green. It's blowing in the wind. Then all of a sudden, from the side, you can hear someone coming towards you. And there's ever such a nice spirit coming off it. You're thinking, who's that? You open your eyes. It's Pam St. Clement. She ain't dressed as Pat. She's just in the joggers. She's got a bag of... A bag in her hand from Spa. She takes out a big old 4 litre bottle of Lucozade and slugs down on it, big as you can imagine. Takes the old bottle down. Then she gives off such a big burp. It blows your wang to a different universe. You're floating through space and it's ever so gorgeous up there. Then a little penny sweet flies by. You take a little pick and you eat it. It feels magical. Then you realise you're ever so relaxed. And then you open your eyes. That was gorgeous, wasn't it? Oh, my God.
I loved it.
Beautiful.
I actually really enjoyed the bit about the sweet, the penny sweet.
Like a penny sweet.
Oh, my goodness. I love sweets.
Do you ever get them buzz bags from the newsagents?
What's a buzz bag?
39p each, 4 for £1. They got these little watermelon wedges. Oh, my God, I could eat them till I'm dead. They make your bones bigger, though. They do.
Where do you read that?
They're full of gelatin. You can eat them because they're full of gelatin.
No, bad news.
I can't.
I know. That's my my favourite ones were those fizzy cherry drop ones.
Oh, I like them. Yeah,
the jelly ones, and I can't eat them now.
What's your treats when you go to cinema? What's your treat?
Well, I have popcorn.
Oh yeah, salted sweet, bit of both.
Oh, a mix every time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time. And they've got to do it properly. You know, they can't just do half and half.
I bet they're thinking, this bloody cow of three bags, she thinks she's the queen. spoon, shake. All right, chill out, girl.
I'm very demanding about my popcorn.
What about a nice drink?
I don't know.
Tango blast? Ice blast?
No. It's water. I basically only drink water.
Oh, my.
That's really boring.
Yeah, you don't. You don't enjoy the old sugar-ridden drinks, do you? Not like me.
I don't.
Or not like Pam.
I do love a bit of coconut water.
Oh, me too. Full of iron.
Very hydrating.
Very hydrating and delicious, may I add.
Delicious. Oh, here's a little tipple recommend.
Oh, go on.
And you can throw some alcohol in if you desire. I don't drink, but if you do, I'm sure there'll be something that would go delicious with this.
I'll give them a suggestion. About 99% of my listeners do drink a lot, so I would say this will be good for them to have a little option.
But basically, I call it a raspberry muddle, and it's coconut water, and then you put raspberries in it and you smash them up, and it is so delicious.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so I don't know, you tell me what spirit would be nice in there.
Bit of white rum.
Okay.
Do you know what, Sean? What I'd also do, I'd cut up a little bit of fresh mint and put that in there.
Mm.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, you was in that show Quiz. I watched that and I was ever so loving it. I enjoyed
Thank
it a lot.
Much.
You was ever so good in that. I enjoyed it a lot. And do you know what I've noticed about you? You play characters, or you're always in shows that are a bit, I don't know, the people you pick or choose to portray, they're always quite interesting. Like her, for example, she was like a... You made her inside ever such an interesting character, and she was kind of not someone you... Did you meet her?
Yeah.
You did? Interesting.
I did.
What'd you make of her?
It was very brief, like probably less than 3 minutes, honestly. They came to set on the last day of filming, and she was unbelievably sweet, incredibly quiet, incredibly shy, which, to be honest, was what I'd intuitively gone for just from watching a tiny bit of footage of them, but not from the Martin Bashir documentary, but another documentary, that Fiona Bruce documentary, that was about a year after their conviction. And it's just like the family at home. And I would often like watch it and just like turn the sound off and just watch her, because I knew that how she'd been portrayed in the press, I knew couldn't possibly be accurate, because they just needed a nice angle to create a great story that would sell. And she was really villainized by the press. And I could tell that they were they're sort of extraordinarily ordinary as people, and they were thrust into this experience and so ill-prepared for it, as you would be if you have no concept of sort of the showbiz world. And intuitively I just knew she was incredibly sweet. There was something really sweet about her, and that's absolutely, that is, she radiated it when I met her. So that was
And do you think, I mean, it seems like a horrible question to ask, because, but in the show they didn't really let on whether they was, you think they did it or not, and you don't have to give me an opinion because I don't know, it might muddy the experience you having played her, but do you think they did it?
Here's my opinion on that, is that it doesn't matter, because of the nature of what it was. I think it's much more important to ask the question whether or not they should have a criminal conviction, which has completely sort of decimated their lives. And they're going for an appeal now, again, to try and get that overturned.
Because it's entertainment, isn't it? And they was part of an entertainment megalith, which is the responsibility of the company in some ways, isn't it? To like, to make sure that's, and that came across well in the show. I loved it. I thought it was ever so good.
Well, we wanted to really humanize them because they were just these caricatures. And like when I first read the script, I knew their faces so well. And as far as I was concerned, it was an open and shut case. They absolutely did it. And then, you know, you do not have to dig very deep to realize how many holes there are in that, in the evidence and in everything else. So I don't think it's important. I don't think you can prove beyond reasonable doubt that he didn't know the answer to those questions. So
it's interesting, because you, as an actor, you really pull out, and I think you did that with Claire, you really pull out the humanity in people, which is gorgeous. And actually talking to you, know it, like the couple of times we met, you're a very deep centered human being. And I think that's an important thing. And hearing you do the research, is that something you do often when you're doing a character? Do you ever kind of go really deep into the idea of what makes them tick, kind of thing, you know?
For me, acting is all about a feeling. And I know it's different for every actor, but for me, it's about, I have to feel them, to have to, that's the only way I can really embody them, is when they're in me. And so that's why when you play a character where you feel miscast, it's because it just doesn't sit right in your body. And so and that's not to say that I don't have to stretch myself to get into those places, But yeah, I really, it depends. It's completely down to each character. So I approach it differently depending on who it is. But I basically won't stop working in terms of preparation until I've had that click moment. Mm. And then I know who they are. And then I'll play around in that sort of musculature for a while until I know it. So like Claire is so familiar to me. I know that for the rest of my life, if Phoebe was like, turn it on now, I could do it because she's in me. She's of me. And Diana, because that was a character I had to get to know, I got there in the end, but you know, that came through the process of filming
I think that's to do with good character writing as well, like the way characters are written in the script as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think you know, that can make it very, very easy for you as an actor. So for me, with Fleabag, Phoebe and I have this, I mean, it's not an argument, but like we're constantly sort of giving each other credit, because to me, Claire is all her. She wrote that character. It was so clear. It jumped off the page. It was so obvious to me how you play that. But then she said, but it's obvious to you because of how it spoke to me. And because she just writes for my soul, like she just gets me so much. So it's, you know, and we're working on other things, and the stuff that she's developing for me is just, you know, I'm like reverberating already with excitement because I can feel it. And but yeah, if the writing's good, it just makes it so much easier.
Well, it's
whereas otherwise
muse,
you have to
it? It's having a muse on both sides, isn't it? Because for the writer, they know they can get the best out of you, and you know you can have complete faith in her to develop something like gorgeous that will challenge you and enrich you. I think it's ever so fascinating, if you ask me, you know, Sean. I love it. I love it and all that.
I love it too.
I got a little goosebumps for talking like that.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoy all that stuff. It's ever so interesting in the actual studio or something. Do you know what I mean? People all love that, listening to that, and I enjoy it. I think it's ever so good. Well, the new one that you've done was, of course, My Gorgeous Moana, that I love. Isn't he beautiful?
I love that boy so much. I'm telling you, we had some very, very early starts on that show. We're talking about 2 weeks to Live.
Of course, a lovely show on Sky. You've got to see it. It's gorgeous.
It is on Sky and Now TV. And Moan is just... It would be 5 o'clock in the morning in the freezing cold in the woods and the mud, and he'd be reminding everyone to look at the sunrise. Oh, it was amazing. Gorgeous.
Very spiritual, and him, and he's a beautiful person. I adore that.
Yeah. And then Taheen, who plays his brother in it, similarly was just this radiant, joyful being. And the two of them in the mornings, I mean, it was just absolute heaven to show up to work every day.
Oh, gorgeous. I love hearing that.
Taheen would be singing and Moan would be pointing at the sunrise.
It does come across on screen, though. It's ever so beautiful. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
So what next then for you then? Because obviously we know you're going to be a bleeding megastar. Surely you're going to be in some films or something soon. Do you know what I mean? I keep expecting you to jump out in a leotard in some kind of Marvel thing. I think you'd be ever so good in that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a personal trainer now, so...
Oh, haven't we all? But mine's called Len, and he's an ex-bodyguard.
Oh! No, I mean, I'd love to do something like that, but...
Is it your thing? I'm always fascinated by... the roles people choose, because you've obviously got a little pick now of all your roles. And I was looking at your IMDb, and the next role you're playing is like a police officer. Is it a detective or something in something called The Duke?
Yeah, so that's just premiered at the Venice Film Festival, and it's starring Jim Broadbent, Helen Mirren. I've got a very small but like gorgeous cameo in that, and yeah, that was directed by Roger Michell, who I'd actually worked with before in the theatre. So wonderful director. Exactly. So he
or not.
That's about to, I don't know when that's coming out, because it will premiere at the London Film Festival. Its UK premiere will be here, and then I don't know if they're going to, I'm sure they, you'll be able to stream it as well.
What would be the dream character, you know, because I feel like it's someone a bit dark, a bit interesting. I love all
I mean
that.
Right now I'd really love to play someone really reckless, because that's not me. Yeah. And it's also not anything like what I've played. I play very...
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Or people, you know, are currently at the moment, there's a lot of, you know, people want me to play people that are contained or that are very together. And I'd really, yeah, love to play like a troublemaker or someone that's just completely off the rails. And I think I want to sort of celebrate my youth while I still have it. And the parts that I play often, I think they give off an energy that's a lot older than I am. So I need to try and break out of that whilst I can. So that's, I'm going to say that out loud to put it out to the universe, see what happens.
Excuse me, universe, can I have a little piece of that? I'll do a little meditation later.
Yeah,
for that,
send
and
some,
I'll get that going.
Send some golden light into that.
I'll speak to Thor.
Have a word with Thor, and then he can speak to the Marvel people. And if I now get a job with Marvel.
You will, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you'll get a job with Marvel. Whether you want it or not, I don't know. But you'll get offered. And it will be something to do with me. I'll be connected somehow. Maybe, I don't know, I'll do a little theme tune to the Sean. Do that ever since strong. Milky Sean. Here she comes. Sean. She's ever so strong. Who's that in the sky? Flying like a meteorite. Oh my God. Is Sean bleeding Clifford? She's got fire coming out of her toes. She's ever so strong and ever such a hero. Sean's a hero. Sean's a wizard. Sean, she's eating jelly sweets. Sean, stop that now, Milky. I've got a migraine. Well, Sean, I think we've kept you long enough. You must have us. This has been ever so strange for you, and I apologise. I don't know why it came out like the way it did, but at least we've had a bit of fun. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what Chris is going to make of this. He's got to edit it. It's like he's gone down memory lane with the Beatles. But we've got a nice bit of seriousness out of you as well.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, we adore you. No, we love you. Well, Sean, you've got such a beautiful spirit and such a gorgeous nature. It flies out of everything you do. We love you. We want to see you soon. Come down my show at the Clapham Grand. I'll get stuck you out a couple of ticks. I'll get you a nice little booth with a bit of... I'll get a nice little vegan spread in there for you. A couple of bits of hummus, something like that.
Some carrots.
Hummus and a pita. Couple of carrots, Milky. Put it on the list. Peel them. Make sure they're peeled. Gorgeous, babe. Love you. Now, I wrote this song after something what happened to me in it, and half knocked me for six, but I tell you what, it inspired one of my best songs, I think. What happened was, one summer, I was playing a headline show down in Butlins in Minehead. They put me up in one of them beautiful Gold Star caravans. I don't know if you've ever been in one of them. Oh my God, it's like a luxury hotel. Trouser press. Foot spa. They've even got a bleeding corner bath. In a caravan. I couldn't believe my bleeding luck. The only problem is, they put the caravan right next to the extractor fan of the Indian restaurant. People kept coming to me and saying, do you know what, Dine? You know, I've caught the sun. I said, I ain't. I'm tikka marinated. After about a week, we'd had a gorgeous time there. It was me last night. I was sat at the bar eating a lovely big bowl of scampi. And I thought, where's Ron? He disappeared about 20 minutes earlier to win me a bagpuss out of the crane machine. When he came back empty-handed, I thought, do you know what? Something came right here. He said, don't look away. Look at me. He said, there's a couple of shifty fellas out there and they keep looking at you and I don't like the look of them. I did a little side eye. I could see two fellas stood there, heads as big as melons, tiny little faces like 2p coins. They was giving me the right old evil. One of them, I looked at him and do you know what? I recognised him. I couldn't think of where, but I'd seen him before. The house band, Colin and the Knuckles, had just done a 20-minute rendition of Oxygen by Jean-Michel Jarre. And this little gorgeous girl from the talent contest was doing a little choreographed dance. She had a huge alien paper mache head. I'm surprised she could walk after. I tell you, that looked like it weighed a ton. All of a sudden, all the lights went out in the clubhouse. Everything went black. A gas filled the air and it mingled for a second with the cigarette smoke and the smell of sausage fat. I felt a grip of cold leather hands around my neck. The smell of Ron's high karate drifted further and further away and suddenly the cold air engulfed me, biting my neck like a little bleeding bugger. I got thrown into a van and the door slammed behind me. They put hood over me head. As the van shot off, a little bit of wind came out. I weren't scared, I just hadn't digested the scampi. Well, the fellow in the van started to giggle. Do you know what? That set me off. we was howling together. All of a sudden we're on the road again. Then a minute, we hear a mighty clang. Ron's on the bleeding roof, punching a hole in it. The smell of his aftershave filled the place and I felt safe again. Ron pulled off my blindfold and as he held the fella up against the wall, he said, "Who'd you work for? Who'd you work for?" The fella was ever so scared. I thought, "You know what, I recognise you." I said, Ron, calm down, let him talk." And then all of a sudden it came to me. I knew where I recognised him from. He'd been a drug dealer in the Bill the week before. All of a sudden he got the words out. "I work for Jeremy Beadle." Oh my God, the whole thing was a bleeding start-up. We open the doors. There's 15 crew, all looking as absolutely bleeding terrified. Ron's got both his moobs hanging out of his shirt. I'm sat there ripped to shreds. I didn't know where to bleeding look. That to rebuild the clubhouse in my head. Ron had gone absolutely mad like a bull in a china shop. It was a disaster. It was the biggest lawsuit LWT's ever seen. That was the year they cancelled Jeremy Beadle. And there was again another time my gorgeous hero Ron Pallett saved me life. There was a time in Corfu on the speedboat. He dived in. Luckily the killer whale didn't get me. The other time on safari in Chigawawa. When something came out of the water, I didn't see what it was because Ron jumped on it and killed it before it had a chance to breathe. My gorgeous boy Ron, you're my hero. And this song is about us two driving off in the sunset together like an action movie. All Mills and Boone, all beautiful. Take my hand, babe, and we'll drive off the cliff together. Bye, my beautiful babes. Drop the cigarette out your mouth. Forms a wall of ice so high that you form a silhouette. And the siren screech so loud as the police car cascades into the window of a little chef. "They've been chasing us for hours. You say you really need a snout, so we stop for baccy. As the service station man grabs you by the hand and says, run for cover. But we've got each other." My lips and soon takes my breath away. And the lights that pass us by bring tears to my eyes. This won't last forever. As you pull down your shades, you look to me and say, "Let's go all the way and chase the sun away." This has been Chatting with Chorley, the Codpast, written by me, Diane Chorley. The beautiful songs, that's written by me and the gorgeous Milky. The producer is Chris Jones. This is a hat-trick Codpast and you are bleeding beautiful for listening. I don't
spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.